we had discussed this week in Jir, yesterday, the Shita of Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam, review quickly, the Gemara had said, quoted a Brisa, that Rabbi Shimon believes that all behemos, gasos, and gakos, large animals and small animals, are all kona b'hagba. And the Gemara says, wait up, how could you ever kona up a peel, an elephant with a hagba? It's way too, the implication is way too big, you can never lift it up. The Gemara throws out several answers. Abayi says, maybe you do a kinyan chalipin, maybe you do socheres makomo, and as pointed out here, socheres makomo may have been a kinyan chutzpah, may have been a kinyan agav, it's not focused on the itter and the shach. Rav Zera says you bring arba kalim and you do a different type of kinyan, probably kinyan chutzer. And the Gemara says, inami chavilez muros. Maybe you use chavilez muros. And according to Rashi, what you do is, you led the animal, you lead the animal up, you push the elephant up onto the chavilez muros, which are three tefachim off the ground. And once the three tefachim off the ground, you're yotze with a kinyan hagba. They're partially disagree with Rashi for many reasons. Some people believe it's still three tefachim is not a kinyan hagba. Tosfos will say that momentarily. Other rishonim say it's still on the ground, it's just three tefachim on chavilez muros, but chavilez muros and chubur lekarka, that's not really kinyan hagba. There's all sorts of attacks. And there, after Tosfos says you only need one tefach, he then says, why dafka chavilez muros? Why not mention avanim or eitzim? Why not mention all sorts of other things you can pick up the animal on? So Rabbeinu Meshulam says, based upon the Gemara and Shabbos, that chavilez muros are elephant food. Elephants enjoy eating them. They hold the, what you would do is you would hold the elephant food up from a high place. The elephant would leap. It would jump up. Would get up one tefach off the ground. You know, when I was a kid, it was like a commercial on television. It was like about four or five, like really in shape, great ball players, and it was like really heavy, you know, overweight guy. And, you know, like the first guys would jump up and they'd be like dunking and, you know, no shirts, totally ripped. And the last guy that would say to him, he'd be like, you know, yo, Albert, show me 2-inch vertical. Like, show me not 2-inch vertical. Like, he couldn't jump up more than 2 inches. So, Rabbeinu Meshulam believes that elephants could jump up a tefach. The reason why this has become such a famous tosfos in the more scientific world is because I don't think there's a zoologist on the planet who will argue that elephants can jump. L'chor the Mitzvah suggests that elephants don't jump. Rabbi Slifkin, the zoo rabbi, has an article online, I printed out, if anyone wants to take a look at it afterwards, in which he comments to some student who asked him this question, elephants don't jump? And he says, yeah, that seems to be an indication to what Chitas Rashi. That's how he quotes himself, and he also quotes many of his critics and how people ripped into him and they didn't like his shita, they think he's crazy. And he responded, listen, I think it is a support to shita's Rashi, what can I tell you? You know what I mean? Like, I was respectful and, you know, just because Rabbeinu Meshulam says elephants can jump, they can't. You know, he writes, Rabbeinu Meshulam probably never saw an elephant in his life. Historically speaking, there weren't that many elephants in general, and certainly not in Europe, not in France. And he's like, Rabbeinu Meshulam took a guess, he interpreted the Gemara as best as he possibly can, and, you know, he probably is not correct. Elephants do not jump, and that's probably not what was going on over here. Question is, how do we relate to such things like, you know, Rishonim, maybe even Gemaras that seem to indicate scientifically disproven things? The truth is, the most famous example of this is in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Kuf Zayin Beis, where the Gemara and Shabbos there writes, it's mutter to kill lice. Hinam. It's mutter to kill on Shabbos, even though in general it's actually to kill all sorts of animals on Shabbos. Now, it's a told of the Malach of Shechita, the 39 Malach, is one of the Malach of Shechita. You're not allowed to take out blood, you're not allowed to bloodletting, you're not allowed to do Shechita, because it's an Isser on Shabbos. So the Gemara there says you can't kill, even though it's not real shechita, it's not real blood, you can't kill any animal at all, but kina you can kill because it's not born the same way, it's not born by any type of normal birth, but rather it spontaneously generates itself. It's called spontaneous generation. The animal just kind of poof, and there are many, many more of them. That's what it says. Spontaneously it generates. And that's more than, that's what the Gemara says. And therefore it's much easier to kill lice. I think Louis Pasteur in the, I'm not sure if it's the 1700s or the 1800s, I did a little bit of research online, I heard both quoted, both the 1700s, I heard 1859, there are a bunch of different dates, I don't know well enough myself before I did my research online, I had no clue, I'd never even heard the name. He did some scientific research and he disproved that there is no such, disproved that the theory of spontaneous regeneration is no such thing. The animal doesn't do that, it may look that way to the naked eye, but at the end of the day, there's actually some type of scientific, regular, biological process going on, and that's not the case. If that's really true, that the science is wrong, so what happens to the halach, which is based upon the science? The only reason why the Gemara says it's mutter is because of spontaneous generation, but once that's not true, l'chora, you should really argue that what? Killing these lice on chaps is taka asim. I don't know of any achronim who actually conclude that. I don't know of any who say that. Maybe one would. Maybe there'd be some achronim who paskin now that the din is based on the science. If the science was not true, so the din changes as well. I don't know of any who says that, but theoretically one could imagine such an argument. What are the classic explanations? The standard one you'd find, you know, is science is wrong just because Louis Pasteur said that the Gemara said that the Gemara is right, and the science is not right. Usually you find this by more closed-minded thinkers. I remember Rav Schechter, Schechter has online a shiur, I was listening to him last night while I was preparing for this. Rav Schechter says, he quoted Rav Mendel Kashel, he's different from that, because Mendel Kashel was a progressive thinker. He usually realizes that science is right, that's an exact lesson or not. But he, you know, he's like, he was surprised to see that Rav Mendel Kashel, one of the huge Gedolei Achronim, you know, Rav Mendel Kashel writes that the science is probably wrong here. There were many scientists, Rav Schechter even quoted many scientists, usually it's like the communists wanted to disprove, they wanted to argue spontaneous regeneration, they disagreed with Louis Pasteur, many of the communistic scientists, Schechter suggested, because communism at the end of the day believes that, you know, there is no God. If there is no God, you need some type of spontaneous generation. That's what the Big Bang theory is. That's what everything is. Science has to hold of it. And they wanted to disagree on that particular scientific theory. Okay, maybe the Mendel Kasher lad and those scientists and have different scientists. Okay, good. There are those who like to argue that the Mishtana HaTeva, things change, that the Bria changes. You know, certainly things change. People are much taller than they used to be. If I'm not mistaken, you know, that's what most of science is based upon, evolutionary theory. Darwinism is that everything changes, you know, everything is developing and growing. So the fact that halacha could accept it to some level, that things are changing, maybe nishtana had to have that things change. It used to be elephants could jump, these days elephants can't jump. It used to be lice would spontaneously generate, they no longer can it anymore. You know, sounds like a stretch by the lice case, although maybe by the elephant case it's possible, you know, Mishtana, Devo, saying if elephants, you know, once upon a time came from the same thing as every other animal in the world, you know, it's really true, you know, we wouldn't believe that. Most of us don't believe in the evolution, you know, from a Jewish perspective. There may be some elements of it that are true, things may develop, so maybe that's what happened, Mishtana, Devo. Okay. Then Rav Schechter quotes Ashita, the Dor Ravi was the great grandson of the Chassam Sofer. He's the first one named Moshe, his name was the Berech HaShem Tam Chacham, and he wrote a sefer called Dor Ravi. He's the fourth generation of the Chassam Sofer, and he wrote a commentary on Yoredei, and in his commentary he has a Hakdamah to Yoredei, which is really a commentary to all of Parashat Baal Peh. He's got tremendously, tremendously deep Hashkafic stuff in there, and in there he writes, okay, in a chinami, so Chazal made a mistake, they got the Metzias wrong, but the din is based upon false Metzias, and the din remains true. And even though it's based upon false Metzias, even though it's based upon, you know, incorrect scientific data, big deal. So Chazal had to use the science of the time. It was mistaken. They made the din based on him. Halacha is metaphysical. It's meta everything. It's meta time. It's above things. And even though it's once Chazal were conveyed halacha, it sticks nonetheless. If Shechter thought that was wrong, if Shechter didn't like that at all, it's like if the din is not, the din has to be based on truth. If the thing is not true, the whole thing falls apart. Rav Schechter said what he believes is what Zalman Orbach believes. It's based upon, he thinks it's based upon Aruch HaShulchan, which is, the halacha is If it looks like spontaneous generation, then it's mutter. If it looks like it's actually reproducing, then it's usher to kill it on Shabbos. And the truth is, to me, it makes a lot of sense as well. If you would have told Chazal 2,000 years ago, you know, this animal, you think it's spontaneously generated, but really it just looks that way to you, but there's really something microscopic, this, that, who knows what, they would say, okay, fine, thank you very much for the education, we passed them already. There's a good chance they would have said that. The halacha is based upon what the eye sees. If you would tell them that there's microscopic, who knows what, you know, they probably would have just said, that's how we're passing it. That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, that's what Shechter said. Rav Shechter quoted an Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan asks, every time you breathe, you're breathing in, you drink, you breathe, everything, tiny little bugs, microscopic things. Aruch HaShulchan writes, the whole thing's mutter. You know, you're allowed to breathe. He paskin plakula, you're allowed to breathe. You know, you can breathe in microscopic things if it comes in its. Bechara, back to the elephant case, you could probably go all sorts of ways as well. For starters, you could answer up like the post as we had Zuck, and the animal didn't actually jump, it just lifted up 2 feet. You know, you could argue that the Chazal are wrong, animals can jump. I'm sorry, the science is wrong, animals can jump. And even though you've never seen them jump, I don't know, you have to keep waiting, you know what I'm saying? If, you know, be patient enough. You know, it's a race between the elephant jumping and Mashiach coming first. I don't know what, you know, you'll just keep waiting patiently. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe elephants used to jump. Much more likely, one could argue that either one of two, even though elephants cannot jump, the din would probably be true as well. Like, based along the lines of the Darabi, that elephants can't chew, the Mitzias is wrong, the Mitzias is incorrect, but the din is correct nonetheless. And I don't know if Rav Shechter would allow for that over here or not. There's a good chance he would even here, because this is slightly different from the case of the Kina and Shabbos, the spontaneous generation. Here, Meshulam may hold, the din is that any animal that jumps the Tefach, it can be Kona. Now, he happened to think it was based upon an elephant, but nonetheless, he was wrong about the elephant. But the din, he knew because it made a lot of sense. The truth isn't sheer. We spent time talking about the din. If an animal jumps, it's not a hachnas kishos, it's just a haras habaylus. Rabbeinu Meshulam was coming from haras habaylus. He had a cute little kutting, you know, zushtal from the Gemara and the elephant food, and maybe that's even for a close pshat, who knows what. At the end of the day, there are several ways to reconcile the problems, and more importantly, there are several approaches to reconciling the problems. I think the approaches I was raised with, and this is really where, I guess, were two parts of what I wanted to cover. Number one is the basic shittas, the basic information, the approaches towards solving problems like this. Again, when Chazal or Rishonim seem to contradict science, it's not the Torah. When God himself seems to contradict it, the problems are much more severe. You would never say Hashem misunderstood the world. You would never say, you know, Hashem got it wrong. Say, the fact that it made in the Sholem, it was based upon French, you know, zoology, and it wasn't correct. Okay, so French zoology in the 1400s, in the 1300s, in the 1200s, it was wrong. Nishka Freilich, that's such a major kasha. So that's one part of what I wanted to kind of get across. The second thing what I wanted to get across, the second element I wanted to share, was more of a hashkafic point, not about science in general, but about life in general, which is Soloveitchik once said, and this is a classic line of Rabbi Soloveitchik, both because it represents hashkafa as well as represents his lack of patience with closed-minded, stupid people. Soloveitchik once said, anyone who thinks science contradicts Torah either doesn't understand science, or doesn't understand Torah, or most likely doesn't understand either one of them. Why most likely doesn't understand either one of them? The answer is because when you give these, you know, broad-reaching questions, nothing makes sense, everything's wrong about both. It just so shows a certain lack of nuance of thought, a certain oversimplified presentation. The Rebbe seems to probably didn't understand either one of them. I think it's important to realize there are questions out there. Sometimes you have to live with kashas out there. Sometimes you hear four or five terutzim, but none of them seem to work for you. Okay, yeah. So you leave b'tzarachin. There's many kashas you can leave b'tzarachin. There's a lot of support for that. On the other hand, sometimes kashas are so strong, you got to give the best answer you possibly can, and you need to come up with whatever you come up with. I mentioned earlier on some people. the Shita of Sajigon writes that anytime the Torah contradicts logic, you have to stick with logic and reinterpret the Torah. The pasuk says Chava was Eden called Chai. It doesn't mean she gave birth to the whole animal kingdom. She didn't give birth to lizards and to giraffes and to camels and to plant life. She only gave birth to people. You have to reinterpret the pasuk to what makes sense. I guess there's this balance of, on one hand, having faith in the system, believing in Torah, and sometimes you live with a kasha. And on the other hand, knowing that you have to come up with answers to them as well, to defend the Torah, to think about it, to analyze it, to come up with the truth in the MS. The kashkafik, that duality does exist. And it's worthwhile, you know, some of the ideas we discussed earlier on really to lay back to that. Maybe the din is right, but Rishon was right. You know, basically, even though the din is right, even though the halacha is not right, he had a good svar for his sheet, even though the mitzias may not have been correct. I think that hashkafically, we want to make sure we identify with and believe in the depth of Chazal and the Chach Mehavasora. It's important to not do it blindly. It's important not to be stupid about it, but it's important to be firm about it. That's a very, very delicate balance that I think I try my best to educate towards, the balance between believing and accepting and respecting Chazal, but not in a stupid way. Not in a blind way, not in a superficial way, and not in a shallow way. I think that's an important hashkafic point to stick with. All right, we'll stop here. Have a good job.